Joining me live in studio today is Stephen Malik, who's the Public Information Officer with Lincoln County Emergency Management. And Stephen and I have been, well, we've been talking a lot over the last couple of weeks, Stephen, with all kinds of stuff going on, earthquakes and fires and floods, and it's been the whole trifecta for you.
That's right. We've had quite the array of options as far as things that have happened in the county lately. Definitely some flooding issues. In the last few days, we've had wildfires over the last couple of weeks that could have been a bigger issue. They were close to some homes, and thankfully that turned out well. But yeah, there's all kinds of things.
Let's start with the flooding that took place earlier this week in Opal, and kind of give us a rundown of what happened there and what the response was like, and what's happening, kind of reflecting on that event.
Yeah, so Monday afternoon, we had some pretty good thunderstorms come through the area down in the Kemmer, Diamondville, Opal area, and it just happened to hit in the wrong way for the town of Opal. They had a lot of water come running through and caused some flooding within the town there. There were some homes with some water in basements, that kind of thing. And then not only did we have that on Monday, but yesterday they got hit two more times with more storms coming through, and this time it brought hail as well. And that caused some additional challenges, and it sounded like there were a few more homes that were affected. They initially, on Monday, they asked us to help them get some volunteers organized and out there to help with sandbagging and that kind of thing. And thankfully, Town of Diamondville stepped up with materials and equipment to help them out with that. And we made some phone calls and got some volunteers, and they got a lot of sandbags filled. And so they've got some materials there that they're continuing to use. They're still evaluating exactly how much damage has occurred and all that stuff. It may take, you know, a few days to really get a handle on the full extent of things.
There was a number of homes, multiple homes that received some damage. Any infrastructure damage that you can tell? I know there was some slides. They were using snow plows, right, to clear mud off the road. I mean, it was that kind of a mess.
It did affect Highway 30 as well. We had some mud. We had hail, water, everything going across multiple roads within the town there, and also on Highway 30. It was having issues there for a while as well. And they're still working on trying to figure out exactly what infrastructure is affected and how bad. We do know that there was some flooding into their sewer system. And so we're still in contact with them quite often throughout the day, just to see if they need anything else from the county to assist with that. But I think they're more in trying to gather what exactly they have to work with.
Stephen Malik in studio this morning, Public Information Officer with Lincoln County Emergency Management. Stephen, let's talk some fires. There was one that popped up in the BT yesterday just outside of Afton, but I'm guessing, because Afton got hit hard yesterday as well, I'm guessing that one didn't last much longer than a spark after it started, right?
Yeah, the last I saw, they had it marked as a half-acre fire. It obviously isn't huge. We're not seeing, you know, a lot of smoke and that kind of thing from it. I don't know that it's fully out, but I know that they had said firefighters were on scene. We don't really expect a lot from that, especially with the extra moisture that we've had. Hopefully that's the case. You just never know. Things can dry out quickly and you know, winds kick up, that kind of stuff. So you have to be flexible, but last I heard, they think they've got a pretty good handle on it so far.
Really big shout out though to fire response crews in Cokeville and Kemmer, a couple fires that way in southern and central Lincoln County that really could have been big deals because of the dry conditions and where they were. But those guys responded quick, got it out, and contained them before anything bad happened there.
Yeah, we were very fortunate, especially in the Cokeville instance. That was right outside a subdivision west of Cokeville. And thankfully, they were able to cut fire break very quickly using some equipment, and that kept it away from the homes themselves. There were some fields and that kind of thing that burned, and it was out onto BLM land as well after that. And thankfully, you know, we didn't have a lot of high winds that were blowing things towards residences. So we were very fortunate there. We had a lot of fire mutual aid from the Kemmer, as well as, you know, Cokeville responded initially, but then Kemmer also started heading over there. We had BLM equipment as well once they got mobilized.
Stephen, also we've seen just on the very, very edge of northern Lincoln County, on the border with Teton, a couple of earthquakes, and nothing huge, nothing surprising, but another reminder of, you know, this is where we live, right?
That's correct. We are in earthquake country. We live along the what they call the Intermountain Seismic Belt, which is basically a geologic area where and it runs basically from kind of the Las Vegas area up north through our valley here, up through Utah, Wyoming, some of eastern Idaho, and up into Montana. And that's an area that is more highly prone to earthquakes than the surrounding areas on both sides of us. And then, of course, obviously, if you go far enough west, you get to California, you got the San Andreas and all that stuff. And yeah, they have well more than we do, thankfully. We don't have that much, but we do have enough. And there have been some studies done on, for instance, the eastern side of Afton here. We've got the Grand Valley Fault, and it basically follows the entire Star Valley area along that eastern front. And there have been geologic studies done in the past, in the early 90s is what I'm aware of, and they figured that it could sustain up to, you know, higher magnitude, maybe sixes and sevens along that fault, and that it had probably happened in the past based on the evidence that they were seeing there. So, you know, thankfully those are few and far between, usually is thousands of years, maybe longer between those, but there is always that potential. And so it would behoove us to be prepared for that instance. We know we've had, you know, smaller earthquakes, fives in the not too distant past. We had the 5.9 in 1994. I was still in middle school at the time, and it almost chucked me out of the bed. And that's kind of what got me into this kind of stuff, strangely. But anyway, we've had, I think it was a 5.3, 5 years ago-ish, usually on the Idaho side that we've seen so far. But we have faults all around us, and some are bigger than others.
So a good reminder to just prepare as necessary. I know you guys have some protocols and preparations in place should anything like that happen. Remind our listeners about the Code Red alert system and how they can sign up to make sure they're getting notifications for you guys in the event of an emergency similar to that.
Yeah, this is a big part of what we do, is trying to get information out to the public, and specifically this falls on me in great measure. We have our Code Red notification system. It allows us to basically draw a shape on a map, and everyone within that's signed up will get notified by either an audio message through their phone, text message, email. It'll also post on social media automatically for us if we ask it to. This system also allows us to activate what they call the Wireless Emergency Alert System, which is part of IPAWS, a FEMA program. If you've had a message come across your phone with the loud tones for like amber alerts or sometimes severe weather events, that kind of thing, that is that wireless emergency alert system. It's a different system, but it's something that we activate through our Code Red system. But the big pitfall of this system is that you have to be in the system to get those notifications from it. So we ask that everybody go to our website, lincolncountywy.gov, and on our homepage, we've got a couple of links there where you can sign up for emergency notifications. You'll just put in your phone numbers, whatever you want to receive the message on, and your address, your physical address, so that it knows you're in the county here. And then if we need to activate, that goes out. It makes thousands of phone calls every minute. We've used it a few times for some smaller events in different places, but should it be the big one, that will be one of the tools that we have.
Excellent. You can sign up for Code Red at LincolnCountyWI.gov. And you can search for it there at LincolnCountyWI.gov and get those emergency alerts. Stephen Malik, Public Information Officer with Emergency Management. Stephen, anything we missed you wanted to mention today?
Not a whole lot. Just make sure you're thinking about preparedness. It doesn't have to be, you know, where you live necessarily, but it's something that affects everybody, and it doesn't hurt to just be thinking about what's around you, what could potentially cause you issues in the future. And if you have any questions, feel free to give us a call.
It's all part of the weekday wake up this morning on SVI Radio.